We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast for a little extra edition with Pro Football Focus's Austin Gale. Austin, how you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. We have real live football kind of happening right now. And
kind of.
Finally reporting to Paul Brown Stadium for the first time, so it's a little surreal. It's going to look a little different. No preseason games. I've talked to a lot of people about Joe Burrow this offseason. You and I have talked about him, it feels like, for almost a year now, going back to last fall. No preseason. Virtual offseason workouts. How is this guy going to adjust?
I mean, I think he will. Of all the quarterbacks that I think were drafted this year, I think he'll be the best. However, I don't know how good that will be. Everyone I've talked to this offseason, I've interviewed a handful of players, Damon Harrison, Calais Campbell, Tyrann Mathieu, all those guys. I asked them, what do you think COVID is going to have the biggest impact on? Every one of them says the rookies. Every rookie is going to have a very tough time adapting to the speed of the NFL, adapting to the challenges of the NFL without a full offseason prepare. And that includes a preseason. I do think Joe Burrow is in a good situation. He's been through this before. If you remember correctly, him transferring from Ohio State to LSU, he was not given a ton of opportunity before that 2018 season to really come in and have success. And that's a big reason why he took a huge jump going from 2018 to 2019, actually understanding the system there at LSU and thriving in it to have one of the best seasons, no, the best season we've ever seen from a college quarterback here at PFF. I think temper expectations for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020. Temper expectations for every team, really, that's as young as the Cincinnati Bengals, because it's just not going to be easy to have a ton of success early in the season with all the limitations and all the impact that COVID has had. However, look at this season as an opportunity for Joe Burrow to build rapport with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, and Zach Taylor, most importantly, heading into 2021 for something they could actually build on and really turn this team around.
Stick with the quarterback room right now. Zach Taylor pretty much told us they were good with the younger guys they had in the room. They decided this past week they're going to add Brandon Allen to the room. What's he going to bring on the vet side for Joe Burrow?
Experience with Zach Taylor. I mean, that's the hugest thing. I think, obviously, Brandon Allen, coming from the Los Angeles Rams, has had experience when Zach Taylor was the quarterback's coach with the Los Angeles Rams. And I think that's what Taylor wants. I know he has confidence in Joe Burrow and Ryan Finley, but neither of those guys have a wealth of experience in the NFL, and neither of those guys have a wealth of experience working in Zach Taylor's offense. I think bringing in Brandon Allen gives them a sense of stability, a veteran presence that has some experience, not a ton, but some experience with Zach Taylor and overall the feel of the NFL. I think it's a good backup plan to a two very young quarterbacks. I think in a pinch, you don't want to be starting Ryan Finley necessarily. I think you do want to be starting more of a veteran presence, especially with this abbreviated offseason.
One of the biggest yeah buts when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals team and the connection with Joe Burrow is that offensive line and who's going to protect him when you look over on the right side. I know how a lot of people feel about Bobby Hart. You've seen plenty of video and tape on him. Fred Johnson, Bobby Hart be one of the biggest battles in camp?
I think it would be if they have opportunity to battle. I know it's limited in terms of 8 to 10 padded practices. It's going to be very difficult for Fred Johnson to win that battle outright without a ton of opportunities. And I think bottom line is week one starter is going to be the one that the Bengals know, and that's Bobby Hart. However, if Bobby Hart does start to struggle, you've seen this past year, you look at weeks 13 through 17 of this past season, Fred Johnson earned a 78.4 PFF pass blocking grade, one of the better grades for starting in a pinch, only played 82 pass blocking snaps this past year, but still positive compared to what you've seen with Bobby Hart. I think it's a short leash with Bobby Hart, but I would predict that he's going to be the starter out of the gate because you need guys that have been in this locker room. You need guys that have been in this offense starting out because you're just not going to have a ton of opportunity to teach these guys that in a normal offseason would be competing for starting spots are now expected to back up to start the season, but then eventually move forward and, compete for that spot in season.
If A.J. Green can stay healthy, is this wide receiver room pretty underrated?
I think so. I think a lot of people want to get on board with the Cincinnati Bengals having a very good trio in T. Higgins, A.J. Green, and Tyler Boyd. And I think all three of those guys can have a ton of success if they can stay healthy and get experience. T. Higgins, I think, adds a lot of similarities to A.J. Green. I don't think they complement each other as much as other receiver duos do, but having two bigger receivers that can get down the field, win in contested catch situations is big for Joe Burrow. But I think Tyler Boyd is the most underrated receiver, I think, in this mix. Because I think Tyler Boyd and Joe Burrow are going to be a match made in heaven, because I know Joe Burrow loves to throw over the middle of the field, loves to hammer the slot receiver position, as he did with Justin Jefferson at LSU this past year. I think Tyler Boyd, I would not be surprised if he's the guy that gets 120, 130 targets across 16 games, because I really do think that's where Joe Burrow is going to be most comfortable, throwing over the middle of the field, throwing to Tyler Boyd at a lower average depth of target than T. Higgins and A.J. Green. However, the trio will complement each other well. I expect Tyler Boyd to come out ahead, though.
Do you see any NFL comparisons right now in T. Higgins?
Man, that is tough. I mean, coming out, I mean, some people made comparisons to A.J. Green. I think others, like Mike Williams, like a bigger receiver that in a straight line can get on his horse, can have some speed, just doesn't have that short area quickness, that agility to be a big yards after the catch guy, or a guy that can really create separation at the short and intermediate levels. Push him down the field, try and create separation on these longer throws in contested catch situations, and watch him win down the football field. I think while you have Tyler Boyd and other receivers on this team carving it up over the middle of the field underneath routes.
Their D-line right now is probably one of their biggest strengths, but they're losing some depth quickly. On the defensive tackle side, do you see any guys that are available that would really fit this room?
That's a good question. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders this morning released former second-round pick P.J. Hall coming out of Sam Houston State. I mean, he was not valued as a day-two pick by a lot of analysts, but he is a guy that has a ton of athleticism. And I think if the Cincinnati Bengals are looking to add athleticism and pass-rushing upside, P.J. Hall makes a ton of sense. But if we're looking to add beef, I mean, Damon Harrison is still a free agent. And I know I've talked to Damon Harrison. He recently had twins that I do think have respiratory issues. He's considering not accepting any deals and to potentially opt out of the 2020 season. But if you're looking for run defense, potentially to replace, or not replace, but to add to what DJ Reader brings to the table, I think Damon Harrison is another veteran presence that makes sense. PJ Hall, Damon Harrison, there is some defensive tackle talent that I think the Bengals could look to if they feel it makes sense.
You mentioned opt out. Were you surprised with any of the names that were going to opt out this season?
I feel like I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, you look at a lot of these opt outs. I know there's some conspiracy that the Patriots are tanking for Trevor Lawrence, but like, you know, Dante Hightower has, you know, close family members that are at risk. Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. All of these guys are not opting out for any other reason than their health. And I think finding now, you're seeing with Major League Baseball, even some of the players opting out for seasons after finding long-term, or not long-term, but potential heart issues due to the coronavirus. I really do think these opt-outs can't be surprising. These guys that do have health issues or family members or close relatives, newborns that are at risk, I think it's very smart for them to prioritize health and safety. And I honestly think that's, you know, looking at Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, who have a team high, I believe, 8 or 9 opt-outs for the 2020 season, it's not because he's, you know, tanking or whatever it means. I think it's because he's telling his players to prioritize your health and safety. It is bigger than this season, you know, this 2020 season. Your life is bigger than this season. So I'm definitely encouraged to see by those who have opted out and prioritizing their health.
We'll go back to the defensive room for the Cincinnati Bengals right now. You know, linebacker, where it stood last year, they went heavy. Zach Taylor went heavy with 3 rookies. And then you get Jermaine Pratt in his second year. They also spent a little money in free agency picking up Josh Bynes. Is this a major upgrade? Are we going to see these rookies taking the field on day one?
It's a major upgrade in that they got so much faster, so much more athletic. And I think at off-ball linebacker, that's what every team's trying to do. Every team is trying to get smaller, leaner, more athletic, and faster at off-ball linebackers. As the Bengals know, and some other teams as well, is that if your linebackers can get exposed in coverage, good offensive coordinators will do it every single game. They will do it repeatedly with these running backs and tight ends. Tight ends are getting smaller. Slot receivers start now. Running backs are obviously a big part of the passing game in today's NFL. Your linebackers can't be liabilities anymore. They can't be these 240, 250-pound off-ball types that can only play the run. You need athleticism and speed. And I think they got that with the rookies. Akeem Davis Gaither, especially one of those guys that fringes on 220 pounds. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, wouldn't even sniff the NFL at off-ball linebacker. But in today's NFL, when they're throwing the ball so much more, running so much more, 11 and 10 personnel, I think he's the guy that makes this defense better if, of course, he can get healthy and play this season.
A lot of people felt they reached with Drew Sample in the draft last year. Then he was injured in his rookie year. Zach Taylor really doesn't utilize the tight end position as much as other teams. Their number one's going to probably be CJ Uzomah, and you have Drew Sample out there. But what do you expect from Drew Sample this year?
I think the best case scenario is that when they do start to use 11 personnel on early downs, they fit Drew Sample into the mix to take advantage of what he is as a blocker. That was what he was best at coming out of college. I mean, that's what you need to do. If you are going to draft Drew Sample in the second round, as they did, and I know a lot of people saw that as a reach, you have to play him to his strengths, and that is blocking in the run game. And obviously when you run as much 11 personnel, you always want opposing defenses to see that, you know, that tight end in there as a threat in the receiving game. A lot of teams don't respect Drew Sample as a pass catcher. Therefore, seeing that as a tell and playing the run a little bit early can be tough. I really do think he needs to get better as a pass catcher, be a threat in that area so they aren't so pigeonholed into his usage. But again, take advantage of his blocking, use him on early downs, and see if you can get a better ROI out of that investment in the second round.
Last question. What are the expectations for this young Cincinnati Bengals team in 2020?
Man, the more I think about it, I living in Cincinnati, and I've been here for 3 years now, I can tell there's a ton of optimism for the Cincinnati Bengals team, especially right after they drafted Joe Burrow. You know, T. Higgins, you know, Akeem Davis came through. They felt like they had a good draft. They added DJ Reader. They really built up this young core. A.J. Green coming back. There's reason to be very optimistic. However, I do think the biggest piece of the puzzle is how successful will Joe Burrow be out of the gate. And with coronavirus impacting the NFL at the rate it is now, I just think if your expectations out of the gate in a full off season were 7-8 wins, I think now you have to lean closer to 6-5 wins rather than that 8-win mark, because it's just going to be that much harder for them to start hot. If this Cincinnati Bengals team starts hot, which I don't think I would expect from a young team like them, it's a different story, but you could see them lose a handful of their games out of the gate and then maybe find their group late in the season, too late to maybe potentially make the extended playoffs. But I think expectations would be hitting 6 wins, hitting 7 wins, and seeing Joe Burrow have a ton of success, specifically in weeks 10 to 17, barring that they do play those weeks, would be huge for this team. That's what you need to see if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan. You need to see Joe Burrow find his groove, hit his groove in weeks 10 to 17, because you can't afford to go into next season with doubts at the quarterback position or continue to fight a learning curve. I think that's probably the best way to put it for Cincinnati Bengals faithful.
Austin Gale, there's no off season for you. I know you guys are busy over on Pro Football Focus. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I mean, PFF continued to kind of look at COVID-19 and see how it's impacting the NFL, but really July and August every year is ranking season at PFF for ranking offensive lines, offensive linemen, wide receivers, running backs. We're looking at who are the best of the best at each position group, who are the best of the best at each position heading into the 2020 season. I think that would be the reason to come check out PFF.com right now. We just recently updated our offensive tackle rankings with Mitchell Schwartz, the reigning Super Bowl champion there at number one. I would encourage you to go to PFF.com, check that and everything else out.
Plenty of breakdowns on Twitter. Where can fans find you?
Yep, follow me on Twitter at @PFF_AustinGale.
I say it all the time, PFF is the only way to go. Make sure you're following the fellows over there. Austin Gale, we're going to bug you again before week one, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.